On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it. And the smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in the thunder. Exodus 19:16-19. There came a call to the people to rise up and to meet with the Lord at the foot of the mountain. This call was to wake them from their slumber. He had come to meet them where they were at, and there, covered in the clouds and smoke before them on the mountain, was their God. It was He who had led them out of Egypt. And they were about to learn that they were only at the beginning of their journey. He was about to give them laws to live by, to teach them how to live with each other, but even more importantly, in fellowship with Him. Israel came to meet God at the foot of the mountain, and for the church, it would be to the foot of the cross on which Jesus, the Son of God, hung. The people had witnessed the power of God in leaving Egypt. What is the power of the cross? It is in the blood that runs down from it, the life-giving blood of the Lamb of God. It is in the power of the testimony. As Jesus laid down His life, it was not taken from Him. That is what sacrifice is. The blood that was shed on the cross was shed to cover the sins of many. His blood, pure and holy, never having sinned, but taken on our sin, so that our sin may be forgiven and covered. Jesus, God the Son, came so that we might be saved from the second death, and eternal separation. Each of us is destined to die once, but there are those who will die a second time, and it will come to those who deny the Son of God and the work on the cross that He has accomplished. You see, He had the strength to lay down His life, and He had the authority to pick it back up again, and in this showing us that with God, nothing is impossible. He endured our pain, and He did not complain once at being called to pick up His cross or bear the weight of it. It was God the Father who asked, "Whom shall I send?" And it was God the Son that said, "Here am I, send me." We must never forget the holiness of God, the sacredness of His being, His moral and spiritual purity. That is what sets Him apart from His creation. He is holy, and our only hope of such is through Him. Towards our thoughts, life, and attitude, Philippians 4:8 instructs, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, think on these things. Holiness urges purity in both actions and intentions. By our speech and conduct, Ephesians 4:29 cautions, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up the one in need. Words are a window into character, and holiness calls for edifying communication. In our relationships and service, Scripture includes many one another commands, such as serving each other in love. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Living holy lives involves reflecting God's love and mercy towards others. These passages point to a holistic transformation that encompasses every domain of life. This transformation is not achieved through human will alone, but through the Spirit's empowerment, aligning one's desires with God's moral framework. From BibleHub.com. At the mountain on that day, God gave to Moses for the people His commandments. They would be written by the finger of God on tablets of stone, representing the hardened hearts of the people, for they chose not to forget from where they had come, but so quickly to forget of how they had been delivered from there. Now given them was a record for the people to keep both physically and spiritually. These commands would guide the people in their walk with the Lord and with each other in their fellowship and relationships. Don't be afraid, Moses replied in Exodus 20:20, for God has come to test you so that the fear of Him may be before you to keep you from sinning. Where is your heart? James 3:17, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peace-loving, gentle, accommodating, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Where is your heart? 1 Corinthians 13:4-5, love is patient, Love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, and it keeps no account of wrongs. Where is your heart? Isaiah 48:10. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. In his commandments, God has called us to live in the light and warned us not to try and hide ourselves in the darkness. He said, worship only Yahweh, the God of Israel. He is the creator, your deliverer. Do not create images of God to reflect who he is. Man is created in the image of God, and this made known by the characteristics of God that have been placed within us so that we can have fellowship with him and be in a relationship with him. The sanctity, the sacredness, and purity of God's name. Take care and have a reverence for it when using it. The Sabbath was given us as a day of rest, of worship, and of thanksgiving. 6 days we are commanded to toil for our food and the meeting of our needs. But he, in his mercy, gives us a time to rest on the seventh day. The importance of family and its structure. It is by our respecting and honoring those in positions of relational authority over us, our fathers and mothers. Defining the sanctity of human life, the value he has placed on it should be ours also, the sacred importance of life. He looks at the sanctity of marriage, our respect for the marriage covenant and of the marriage bed. Our commitment to him is reflected in it and through our honoring of what he has blessed. And we are called to honesty and integrity, to moral soundness, incorruptness, to be genuine in all of our dealings. We are called to uphold the truth and to carry out justice, and this set by God and his standards. We can only see the world through his eyes to gain understanding of true justice. And we are called to control our inner desires and attitudes. The sinful nature that is within us desires everything that is contrary to the will of God. Because of our sinful nature, these commands would soon become a burdensome weight for us to carry around. You see, the sinful nature within us has won many of the battles for our hearts, and darkness has fallen over the entirety of the earth. And now it rages fiercely within all, whether they walk with the Lord or against him. But for the one who walks against him, they are always looking for new ways to avoid a conversation with the Lord. They know only a false hope and have no real peace or rest. Theirs are the battle scars that are covered with bandages marked with different levels of luck and or chance. For the person who has yet to come into the fold and become a child of God, these same laws and commands that give peace in life to those who trust in the Lord, these very same will condemn the unbeliever on the day of judgment. For without the power of Christ to overcome the sinful nature, these commands of God's cannot be kept. If you break one, you have broken them all, for they all come from the heart. The child of God will look at these laws and seek to observe them, knowing that it pleases our Heavenly Father. The new covenant came through Christ Jesus, and what he has done cannot be undone, nor can it be changed by any man or principality. The writer of Hebrews writes in Hebrews 12:18-29, for you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and in awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So how great is our God? He is worthy of all our praise. Amen.